Okay, we are on page 390, first siman of Agaris HaKodesh. And we're basically just starting getting into this introduction. The Alter Rebbe is very encouraged by people who learn Torah. And we specifically said, Torah Shebal Peh, the oral tradition. Because it's through the oral tradition that you know how to do things. So, we stopped at the word kanoda, which is, the first word in the line is mamish. We're starting hine amunazu, is where we're starting in the Hebrew, which is a little below halfway. Last word in the line is zu. And in the English, it's the first paragraph on the right side, on 389. So, hine amunazu Nikra b'shem b'chinas masnayim. So he said, and the last thing that he said is that just like it is that you have the physical body, you have the loins, the thighs which support the body, so too you have the loins in Ruchnius, which that's a true belief in Hashem Echad, and Hashem is totally everywhere, encompasses everything in all parts and perceptives or perceptions of our creation. So this Amuna is called with a name Masnayim. This is called loins. Davar Hamaimed or Mekayim Esarosh, something which holds up the body. Which the seichel is, the rosh is the seichel, hamizbayin ma'amek daito begidol saint Sev Baruch Hu, that is able to meditate in the greatness of Hashem. So he said, we mentioned last week that the height of a person is not determined by the size of a person's head, but rather by the length of their legs. Now here we're calling the length of the legs amunas Hashem, believing in Hashem, and it says that the belief is what props up the intellect, because the intellect now is I'm going to believe in because I believe in Hashem, so therefore I'm going to sit down and I'm going to meditate on how great Hashem is. If I didn't believe in God, what would I meditate on? I don't believe in it anyway. So obviously, then, as a precursor, yeah, I'd be in big trouble. It says that I think we told the story last week about the man. No. The man who came to the Tzemach Tzedek and said he had Tzveikus and Amunah, he doubted if there was a God.
Yeah, we did. God said, "You're going to be fine."
He said, "You're going to be fine." Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, if you're worrying about it, you're going to be fine.
Okay. But v'chinas olam shana unefesh. Okay. And to concentrate on the greatness of Hashem, as Hashem is manifest in place, time, and soul, or in this case, energy. See, because each one of these things is a created entity. The world, the universe is comprised of three components. And we say that if you have this idea, this space-time continuum, but missing from the space-time continuum, the physicists don't put into it, is the soul behind the space-time continuum.
The angels behind it.
Our soul, the energy, whatever it is that, you know, in order for space and time to exist, there has to be an energy there. And so every body, everything, every organism, and every entity is governed and ruled by time, space, and soul, energy, and spirit. Uvarov chasav v'nifloisa imanu. And because of Hashem's great and awesome kindness to us, liyis am karovei, that we should be his close nation, uladavka by mamish, and to cleave to him, to Hashem, and absolutely. Okay. Now this idea of why is there a creation? How does this whole deal of a creation come about? Obviously, Hashem was not bored and decided I'm going to need to make a creation now because it'll give me something to play with.
Yeah, exactly.
No, rather, it is the nature of good to do good, and therefore Hashem made a creation, starting with, we talked about last time, starting with the neshamais was the first thing, and then this, once now we have the neshamais, is we can decide, Hashem decided, where are these neshamas going to go? How are they best going to be manifest to reach their fullest potential? And therefore came up with this whole thing. And it's all out of an expression of Hashem's goodness. And therefore we have to reciprocate. If we're here as a result of Hashem's goodness, meaning Hashem's doing us a favor. So it's only natural that when someone does you a favor, that you feel like you need to do them a favor.
Reciprocate.
So if a person's going to actually think about the greatness of Hashem, which is an expression of Hashem's kindness, gedula, it says, L'cha Hashem ha-gedula, v'ha-gavura, v'ha-netzach, v'ha-hoi, we say it in davening every day. There we terminate, we use the word gedula, and it means kindness. So if Hashem is so kind that he went to all the trouble to create us, the least we could do is go to all the trouble to keep the world going the way it's supposed to do, the way it's supposed to be. As is explained, and we explained this already in chapter 4, in the first section of Tanya, the statement in from Pirkei Avos, that better is 1 hour of tshuva and maisim tovim in this world than all of the world to come. He goes into the whole thing about this. Yivashkin, we'll talk about that in a second. It says, so now what is it we're talking about? After having just completed a Geras HaTshuva, we can understand the depth. Why doesn't it say, just better it is to do 1 hour of Torah and mitzvahs in this world? Why does it say specifically Tshuva U'maisim Tovim? Recognize now, having spent 12 chapters discussing what is able to be accomplished by Tshuva, the Tshuva Tata, the Tshuva Ilah. And if you forgot about it, well, there's 18 editions, installments on RabbiFinman.com. You can go listen to it again. But the idea being that with tshuva, not only is it that we're just filling the gaps, but we create a very significant personal relationship with Hashem. And to be able, which we can do that here, in Olam Haba, which is the Madar HaNeshamais, that's the resting place of the Neshamais until Mashiach comes, and we'll have Trios HaMesim, there is improvement made to the soul. But the improvements that the soul experiences are very graduated. They are step by step by step, because it says every Shabbos the Neshama has an Aliyah, and Rosh Chodesh the Neshama has an Aliyah, and Yantif it has an Aliyah, and a Yahrzeit it has an Aliyah, and when somebody does something in name of the Neshama it has an Aliyah. So these are all just step by step by steps by steps. We learned already that when a person does tshuva, they basically zoom past any of that, because now they're in a level of a Baal Tshuva, which is higher than even a Tzaddik. You can't do tshuva in the world to come. It can only be done here. And it says in mitzvahs also, because mitzvahs are not done there. In other words, once a person has divested themselves of their bodies, they have no way of fulfilling the will of Hashem. When you think about it. Okay? You can't choose good and bad once a person passes away, because there's no choice. There's nothing to choose from, because there's nothing to do. The Neshama is just basking in this Ziv Hashchina, as he calls it right here. That what's Olam Haba? Olam Haba is Rak Ziv Ha'ara. Mevachinas HaNikra Shechina HaShechein. It's just a fulgence, a ray, which from this level of Shechina, which is called based on the way of resting, Shechein, dwelling. And it's only just how much is it that the neshama in Olam Haba is recipient to, and is how much it's able to withstand based on what it was able to do in this world. And so that a person's level in Olam Haba is determined by what they did in this world. That's like obvious. But when we're doing a mitzvah, for example, as he mentions in chapter 4, is that you have the whole entirety of Hashem. You have the whole infiniteness of Hashem. So this week's parsha says in chapter 47 also, Vayikol li truma, take me an offering. That you're not, it should have said, give me an offering, or it should have said, take an offering for me. But it says, take me an offering. That we're actually taking Hashem when we're doing a mitzvah. And specifically when we're giving charity, when we're giving tzedakah. Because since each mitzvah is an expression of the ratzon of Hashem, so you're grabbing on to the ratzon of Hashem with every mitzvah. Whereas what's happening in Gan Eden is sitting at a, sitting back, kicking off, kicking the heels back, cooling the jets. And whatever level you're on, that's whatever level you're on. And as the Alter Rebbe said, it's just a ziv. That's what the Alter Rebbe said. I don't want your Gan Eden. I don't want your Olam Haba. I want you alone. Because an understanding and how you're going to get it, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get you alone after one divests himself of his body. The only way you can get you alone, meaning just me and God, is by doing mitzvahs. Okay, so I strongly recommend them. Yeah. V'nivra b'yud. And it says the world to come, it's just resting. It says Hashchina Hashchein. Even though we want to say that what's Shchina? If you look at the first mimer of the Rebbe from Anbasalagani, that he talks over there different levels of Shekhinah. And Shekhinah is any level of Hashem which relates to a lower level. And there's Lamaila, Lamaila, Lamaila. He goes all the way up to what's Iker Shekhinah is the level of Malchus, which is a level of Elokus that relates before the first contraction, which was the beginning of the creation process. That's called Iker Shekhinah. But that is just, it's just that part that we can relate to. If it's called Shekhinah means a presence. You can relate to it. It's relatable. Now, I don't know exactly how you're going to relate to before Tzimtzum, but it's the fact that it's called Shekhinah makes it relatable.
Hmm. I thought Malchus was one of the lowest levels.
Malchus is the lowest level. Malchus and Shekhinah are the same thing. Depends on who you're asking. If you ask a Kabbalist, it's Malchus. If you're asking somebody from the Zohar, it's Shekhinah. It's also called the lower mother, Matra Nisa Tata, Ema Tata. It's also called Adnai, the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yun, which he talked about that in Shar Yechud V'Amunah, in chapter 7. And he says, Olam Haba is Nivra B'Yud. Okay, based on the Pasuk, B'Yud Ke Havaya Tzur Olamim. With the Yud and Hey, Hashem made the worlds. And it says in the Gemara, with the Yud, Hashem created the world to come. And with the Hey, He created this world. So how big is a Yud? A Yud is just a point. It's a potential, really, basically. If you want a bigger Yud, you have to get a bigger pen. It's the only way to make a bigger Yud. Okay? So that means to say that all of the energy, all the godliness, which is in Olam Haba, is just a point of potential. That's what's creating the whole thing. That's all we got. That's what we have to look forward to after we're 120. Thank you very much. Okay? It's kind of like, we'll get there. The Lubavitchers are going to get there and they're going to go, is this it? Forget about this. This is so anticlimactic. Okay? It's like the after point on a touchdown. It's like, big deal, I spent all that time going the 80 yards to get into the end zone, and I get this little extra point because my place kicker can kick the thing through the thing. It's like nobody even considers the extra point, but it's the extra point. Okay, so that's what like this. This is what Olam Haba is. Olam Haba is an extra point. Echad Mishmai Yisbar, just one yud from Hashem's name. But tshuva ma'isim tayvim. But what's tshuva and ma'isim tayvim? Makrivan Yisrael avim shebashamayim mamish. they draw close the Jewish people to their father who's in heaven, mamish. L'mahusa v'asmusa kiviyachal b'kinis ein seif mamish. Not just a ray, but as we said before, to Hashem's very essence and being, the infiniteness of Hashem, that indeed enclosed in every mitzvah is a bit of Hashem's infiniteness. Which is why it says, for example, a person will have, not that mitzvahs were given for benefit, but rather a person will benefit physically by the performance of mitzvahs. If a person puts on tefillin, it says they'll think clearer because the tefillin are sitting on the top of their head, where at the point of consciousness, and it's drawing down godliness into their head, and it can't not have an effect on them. And it's the same thing also with every single mitzvah. Every single mitzvah is a focal point for drawing down godliness onto us and into us. And from where? From the level of Balo Ratzin, the one whose Ratzin it is, representative of an expression of the infiniteness of Hashem. Kemosha Kasev Haidai Al Eretz V'Shamayim V'Yaren Karen La'amai. It says, we say this in davening a couple times a day, that His glory is on the earth and the heaven. That the word glory, Haidai, His glory, there it means, what does it mean? What's glory? There's a person. Glory is one of those really ambiguous words that people usually stumble on when I ask them, okay, could you define the word glory for me? So, usually most people can't. They know it when they saw it, but they can't define it. Here, the Alter Rebbe defines glory as an external expression. There's your you-ness, Younes. There's who you are, that's your essence and your being. And then you have how that is expressed, how people relate to it. And if a person is, quote-unquote, a valiant person, a person is an honorable person, so then they get this covet, they get this honor, they get this glory. Okay? So it's for things that were accomplished for the most part. So what was accomplished? How does Hashem have glory? He made a heaven and the earth. And everybody goes, yippee. Okay? But that's just a ray of godliness which is going into making a heaven and the earth. But it says, V'yaren Karen La'amai. He lifted up, Karen can be read as horns, Karen can be read as principle, the main part. Yeah. So it says the main part is for His people. So to make a creation, we know we learned already 12 chapters of Shar Yechid V'Emuna with Sham Chench. It was just a little bit of godliness, 10 utterances. But for the Bnei Yisrael, it was Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim. He blew into him a soul of life. It was from the very essence of Hashem. So we are Am Karevei. We are His close nation. Asher Kiddushana B'mitzvah. And then it says also, with every mitzvah that we do, that we become sanctified, we become holy through His commandments. Another word that people get stuck on. What is holy mean? I think we said this last week, the week before. Define holy. Because holy means separate. It's meaning separate from the mundane, separate from the world. That's what holy is. And by us doing a mitzvah, regardless if we say the bracha or not, because brachas ain't about akvin, brachas are not precursor. You can do a mitzvah without saying the bracha. It's still a bracha. And maybe I told you, there's one guy that I do lulav and esrog with every year. He never has any times. He can sit and he can schmooze with me for 15 minutes. I'll call him out of his office. He'll schmooze with me for 15 minutes. I'll ask him, come on, do lulav and esrog. He says, I'm sorry, I don't have time. But he's standing there for 15 minutes talking to me. Okay? I don't have time. So what did I realize? Is I realized is that he just doesn't believe in the whole mitzvah thing. So what I did, what I've been doing lately is as I'm talking to him, I said, oh, by the way, could you hold this just 1 second? And I hand him the lulav and the esrog. Okay? And then I'll bend down and tie my shoes. And I said, and by the way, since you're holding it already, you might as well say the bracha. So the first time he said, no, I'm not saying the bracha. And I said, but you just did the mitzvah already. He says, what are you talking about? I said, the mitzvah is just to hold the things. You did the mitzvah. So you might as well say the bracha. So the first time he didn't do it. After that, he kind of like got the idea, and he did say, started saying the bracha. So, but the first time that he did it, he was just holding the lulav and the esrog, kind of waving them back and forth, so casually, haphazardly. So he did the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. Okay, mitzvah ain't sriches kavana. Okay, you don't even have to know you're doing a mitzvah. Okay, you could do a mitzvah and not know it, and it would still be a mitzvah.
Walk through a sukkah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, you'd have to be eating as you're walking through.
You'd be eating a lot.
Yeah. For example, let's say a person's tummy wants to go to the base of Mikdash, and they fell into a pond, a brook, an ocean.
Oh, all the way in.
They fell in. They guess what? They went to mikveh.
Yeah.
You know, was it their intention to go to mikveh? They fell into the water. They're tar. Okay, because in this world, which is a world of action, so what matters is
action.
The action. The saying the bracha, okay, it's a good thing.
It does
all kinds of wonderful things, it adds all kinds of things, and then there's the kavana, which is even higher than just saying the bracha. And that's also good, because a mitzvah below kavana is like a goof below neshama. Okay, but it's the person doing the mitzvah, even if they're unaware of they're doing the mitzvah, is asher kedushata b'mitzvah. So this person is becoming separated from the world, from the mundaneness of the world. Ukamayim apanim apanim, and just like it is, the face that you show in the water is the face that you see in the water. Meaning, you look in the mirror, whose face are you going to see? Hopefully yours.
Yeah, hopefully.
If you look in the mirror and you don't see yourself, give me a call. We'll see what we can do about it. Well, first of all, we'll see if the mirror is plugged in. That's first of all. That's always the answer. Is it plugged in? Is it turned on?
Yeah, it's plugged in, right?
Yes. Okay. So look, what does that mean? So we realize we're sitting and we're thinking on the greatness of Hashem and how Hashem's cutting us so much slack. And Hashem wants to be close to us, and we have the opportunity of doing mitzvahs of getting closer to Hashem, and it's all an expression because of Hashem's love. And when we think of that, kamayim apanim lapanim, the face that you show is the face that you get returned. We'll show Hashem the same thing. We love Hashem, we want to do for Hashem, we want to get ourselves removed from the mundane world for Hashem. L'haylam etfuna zu d'chila v'resina sichli motavim. And what's going to happen is that there's going to be developed a palpable love and fear, either intellectually or naturally. Meaning to say that the person is going to understand that, yes, indeed, I do love Hashem. I understand that I love Hashem. Or it's developed, which is in chapters 1 through 17 in Tanya, or the natural love, which is discussed in chapters 18 through 25, of this idea of just arousing the natural love, that because Hashem loves me, therefore I love Hashem. What's going on there? 392. Yeah. Lihiyais b'chinas tzak libam el Hashem. To cry out, like when you have something and it's taken away from you. You have a tendency of saying, hey, I want it back. So this was what happens to the person. They feel a certain bitterness as a love, which is an expression of bitterness, because they realize, listen, Hashem wants to get close to me, and look where I am. I'm not very close. Abuchinus rishpei eishala havis azab abuchinus ratza v'achakach abuchinus shuv. Or to develop, this would be a higher level, and this is not a level which is capable by every person, is usually considered a matana milamaila, that the person has this burning, passionate love like a fire, a strong fire, he says, puts in here, that he's really running, he's desiring to get close. The only thing that will quench his thirst is to experience elokus, and then also the shuv, the return, which is more important than the running. Because from running, you get no place. It's what are you doing with the running? Okay, if you're running around town looking for something, it doesn't help until you come home and you have it all the stuff you went looking around for. Okay, that's just in a very grub example. To develop this awe of Hashem in his heart, and to be embarrassed by Hashem's greatness. The embarrassed here means not like you're standing in your underwear in public. That's not what embarrassed here means. Embarrassed here means a sense of feeling of insignificance.
We have
it says the pachad, that's the awe. The libayish migdulasay, and to be embarrassed from Hashem's greatness. Okay? To feel one's own insignificance. Vahu b'chinas smel daicha. And this is an expression of with the left hand I push him away. It says v'yamina k'mekarevus is smel daicha. With the right hand I draw him close, and with the left hand I push him away. So very often, smal deicha means like to give mussar and to say you're a rotten louse and look what you're doing to the mucking up all the things. That generally is called smal deicha, because smal is this expression of nullification and severity. But that's not the only thing. There are zillions expressions of the level of divine severity, of divine gevura. And one of them, for example, would be the idea of love, which comes as an expression of the severity. That if you take something back, you're constricting it, you're holding something up, you're holding it closed. So that causes the pressure to build and increases the feeling of being enamored. Like it says by the giving of the Torah, the people saw, they trembled, and they moved away. Because what did they see? They saw Hashem's Gevurah. By Kriyas Yamsuf. So they also saw Hashem's Gevurah. But what were they doing? They were singing, Zekeli Van Vehu. This is my God and I'll glorify Him. Because the Gevurah that they got there was one which was a Gevurah, an expression of beneficence, and one of a protector. Okay? You don't want your protector to be some wuss. You want your protector to be... You want your protector to be like, you know, fill in the blank. Yes, a strong dude. Okay, by Matan Torah, they saw Hashem's Chachma. They saw Emes. And that's what blew them away. When exposed to the Emes, Moshe couldn't even take the Emes. Okay, and that's what we experienced by Matan Torah, by the giving of the Torah.
The Emes, they saw the...
Correct.
How do you... No,
I don't know what MS is.
They saw color. They saw
sound. It says they saw sound. They heard images.
They heard images.
Yeah, they heard
all
colors.
All these things that make no sense.
Right. All these things that savants seem to have, yes. You know, but...
They saw MS.
They saw MS, meaning they saw what the world really is. This world is called Alma de Shikra, the world of falseness. And nothing is the way that it appears to be. Appears means it's just an appearance. It's just a presentation.
Right.
What it really is, what's really there, is not expressed. We don't see it at all. And what we could think is one thing is really something totally completely otherwise. And we could think why something is happening is because of something and it's not. It's totally completely unrelated to anything that we might be thinking about. God doesn't need our permission to operate a universe, by the way. Yeah. Okay? He's not asking for my permission, so.
Say again?
What?
Say what you just said again, please.
God's not asking my permission to run the universe.
Ah, good, yes.
So it says that when we saw the truth, we were blown away by it. We're blown back because of it.
I'm still wondering.
What did they see?
I'm trying to think.
Let's look at it this way. It's a good question. What did they see? I cannot answer that because I don't know what MS is. When we look around, all you see is falseness. When they looked around, they saw deficiencies. By Matan Torah, they didn't see any deficiencies. Nothing had anything missing. Everything was on 100%. It's total sensory perception, which is why they got blown back, because their senses were overloaded. Okay? It says, even Moshe got blown away by the Emes. Ach, me, who had nice and careful eyes, Luchias Masnaim, Lahamad, Lakaim, Harash, Vazarayas. But what is it now? Since it was up to this point, we've been talking about the importance of learning Torah. So what is it? We say that the loins are what support your belief. Or the loins are your belief that support your intellect. So what supports your loins? Look, he says, Levachias Masnaim Lahamad, Lakaim, Harash, Vazarayas, who Oisik Velimit Halachas Beteir, Bashabal Pat. Specifically, we mentioned last week, is specifically to learn halacha. Up until now, what was it that he was so lauding the communities about? Was that they were able to split up the Gemara into 35 Masechtas, and everybody took a Masechta, and they all finished it by the same time, and so they're all considered as having finished 35 Masechtas that year by being a participant in it. But here he's talking specifically halacha. Okay? Because halacha is really the way in which Hashem is conveyed. This is how we know what Hashem wants. Because what's halacha? Halacha is a revelation of divine will. This is what Hashem wants. Hashem wants you to wake up and wash Nagel Vassar, and then go to the sink and wash Nagel Vassar three times alternatively on each hand. Okay? This is what Hashem wants. The Raisa Mechafka Hu Denafkis, because the Torah comes from wisdom, meaning Hashem's wisdom. That's why it also says that Hashem looked in the Torah and created the world, and Tzaddikim look in the Torah and keep the world going. Because when they're looking in the Torah, they're not reading about a story about an Avraham, a Moshe, an Aaron, a calf, a das, a yant. That's not what they're reading about. A tzaddik is tapping into the chachma behind it. It says about, for example, about the Sefer Ein Yaakov. You familiar with Ein Yaakov? Akiva, you're familiar with Ein Yaakov? You there, Akiva? Are you familiar with Ein Yaakov?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so it says the secrets of creation are contained in the pages of Ein Yaakov. Ein Yaakov are the stories that are pulled out of the Gemara in a separate compendium. Okay. It used to be a big thing to learn. He mentions it in chapter 30-32 of Agaris HaKadosh, the idea of learning Ein Yaakov publicly between Melech HaMarev. Because it says, because it has in it all the secrets of creation. Now, I happen to have learned through Ein Yaakov, and I don't know any too much secrets of creation. So I can tell you some weird stories.
It's an encoder or something?
Yeah, it's very much encrypted.
It should be.
Okay.
I mean, I have a copy. I've read some of it, but it's got 10 stories above my head.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about Hashem who is Nachum and Isaac Mafkis. For who the Nafach? This is what's been expressed. It's what's blown into us. Avam Kar v'Shersher who l'mayla mayla v'chinas haChachma. The source of where halacha is coming from is much higher than Chachma. Hanikra v'Shem Ratzon Ha'Elyon Baruch Hu, and attaching oneself to Hashem's Ratzon. Kamosha Kasev, Kitzina Ritzain Te Atrena, Ke Atera, like with will he covers himself with a helmet. Ke Atera Shuhu Alamayachin, just like a helmet or a crown, which sits on top of the head, and that it only has a superficial external relationship with Chachma, which is the beginning of who we are, which is inside our heads. As is known from the pasuk that says, the woman of valor is the crown to her husband. Okay, which if you're putting that into terms, now refers to Malchus, which is called the Eishes Chayil, is a crown, meaning a ratzon, to her baila, meaning chachma. That's the way we're going to interpret that verse. The kol hashayna halachas b'chol yom, and it's, we learn this, we say this every day in davening too, that everybody learns halacha every day is guaranteed a place in the world. V'zeh chagre b'oiz masneha. This is what it, now when it says that he girds her loins with strength. Ein oiz alater. The expression is that if you're saying the word oiz, oiz refers to uzoi, this kind of stuff we mentioned before in a different post, like, refers to Hashem's Torah. That this girding of one's loin, we said this is the amunah, and the girding of the loins is the studying of the Torah to strengthen and to the limbs of the body, which is the intellectual or natural fear and love. Each one according to their own abilities. Anyway, I was going to say something, but I forgot. V'zeh v'chagr ba'oiz masneha es av ein oiz elatera. Yeah, it says that the Torah, one of the things is the Torah machteshes kayin, keichai. You have to watch this one, Akiva. It says a person weakens a person's strength. The Torah weakens a person's strength.
What?
The Torah weakens a person's strength. There's a story about a major robber who lived 1,800 years ago. His name was Reish Lakish. He was unbelievably strong. He could stand at one end of the Kinneret, give himself a good running jump into the Kinneret about halfway through, and then jump out onto the other side. This is what you call good knees.
Yeah, that's.
You really do need good knees for that. So he would do this regularly, is because since he could do it, he could get away with pretty much murder. He could get away with anything. He could rob anybody, jump on one side, jump back on the other side, and no one would be any the wiser. Steal all the guy's clothes while he's taking a swim and be gone before he knows about it. Okay? So what's happened? That he jumped across the Kinneret, and he saw the Rabbi Yochanan was taking a bath. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, back then, people liked their women with schmaltz. In fact, it wasn't until about the 1920s that people didn't like their women with schmaltz. If you were thin, you were sick.
Right.
Okay? That's what my grandmother was raised with that. She wanted to make us all fat. Okay, so he was pretty well, you know, maybe call him corpulent per se. I mean, there were some rabbis that were out and out fat, and it talks about them that when they stood stomach to stomach with their wives, you could drive an ox cart underneath them. That is what you call fat. So I don't think Rabbi Yochanan was like that, but taking a bath from across the Kinneret, he looked like a well-endowed lady. Okay, so he thought, oh, look at this hot babe. And so he jumps over the thing, he comes up, and it's Rabbi Yochanan. Got a beard and everything. And he tells Rabbi Yochanan, you're so beautiful, you should have been a woman. And Rabbi Yochanan responds back, you're so strong, you should have been a Torah scholar, because you need strength to be a Torah scholar. And he tells them, listen to this one, if you indeed become a Torah scholar, I'll make a shidduch for my sister and you, and she's more beautiful than I am. So it says, he took him up on it. He says, okay, I'm coming back with you. Just a second, I'm going to jump back and go get my stuff. When he went to go jump across the Kinneret, he couldn't jump. So he turned around to Rabbi Yochanan and said, what gives? He says, now all your strength has gone into Torah. Okay? Because Torah, it says, is machteshes kayach. Torah weakens a person's strength. Okay? But because what? Because we haven't survived for 3,300 years based on brawn. The reason why we've been able to survive, it's not because of our brains either. Because left up to our own imaginations and our own IQs, we wouldn't get too far.
Yeah, exactly.
It's only because of the Torah which is Nikra Oiz, the Torah which is called strength. And that Jews have relied on this strength to get us through whatever situation it happens to be. Therefore, we're... When the parenthesis. Valmadis the key and bohinus harosh of a nefesh was sechel and his bainan armor tamuki tovor sakra. So it's about this idea of the head being as high as it is because it's sitting on top of the legs, that this is accomplished when a person is going to use his intellect. In other words, when is it that a person's intellect, when is a person's head on a higher level than his legs? When he's using his intellect. If he's not using his intellect, he might as well just have another foot there. So we say... she perceives that her trade is good. Election schora. Okay, and the neshama realizes that it's got a good deal going on over here. Now with the two dots after the parenthesis. Ach es uzman hachizik va'oymet hazroya v'harayish hushat tefila. Now, as we've already mentioned the idea of mitzvahs, we've already mentioned the idea of Torah and the importance of Torah study. And so now he says, and by the way, if you want to strengthen your faith, what's the best way to strengthen your faith is by davening. And we've talked about davening a zillion times. Okay? Specifically, shacharis, to try and spend time doing shacharis, because shacharis is an auspicious time above. This is when Hashem's rachmanis is most concentrated. Ulezeis oisa avakish mevakshi Hashem. That's why it is that I'm searching for you from among the searchers of Hashem. Yavina v'yiskelu yachdav lihiyos lezikaron beneinam, and she'd wind up that what with all of this that the guy is going to put on tefillin. And generally, this whole follows suit, just like the general letter that I, the Alter Rebbe, wrote last year. The davening has to be an expression from the depths of the heart. Every single day you have to go looking for Hashem. Libam uvachol nashem, with all your heart, with all your soul, v'nashem tishuk kamayim, and your soul should be flowing out like water. Ne'erach peni Hashem, to go find opposite Hashem. Kamayim rizal b'sifri ad mitzoy nefesh, until kamayim rizal, excuse me, as our sages say in the Medrash, it's known as sifri, that a person should look for Hashem until his soul leaves his body, because that's really when he's going to find him. So in other words, that what he's saying over here is the importance of Torah, the importance of davening, the importance of tzedakah or whatever, the importance of mitzvahs, and the importance of davening. So now what he's done is he's basically said, you got three things that are more important than anything else in the world. So if it is that the learning Torah is more important than anything else in the world, so it's more important than the davening, it's more important than the tzedakah. And if you're going to tell me that tzedakah is more important than anything else in the world, so that means it's more important than the Torah, it's more important than the davening. And if you're going to tell me that davening is the most important thing in the world, so that means it's more important than the learning, it's more important than the tzedakah. Okay, so how do you rectify these things? How can you have three things which are the most important? And an answer, the answer, very simple answer that the Rebbe gave to talk to yeshiva students, that the yeshiva seder in Lubavitch is divided into three parts. 2/3 of the day is for the study of Gemara and Shulchan Aruch and things like that. 1/3 of the day is for the purpose of studying Chassidus. And then, during the free time, is for the purpose of Mivtzoyim. Going out and encouraging Jews to get involved with Yiddishkeit.
Actually.
Okay, yes. Now, so the Rebbe writes over there that this, he was speaking specifically to the Bachram. During Seder Chassidus, you have to learn Seder Chassidus. During Nigla time, you have to learn Nigla. And when it's time to go on Mivtzoyim, so then you shouldn't be learning Nigla or Chassidus. You should be going on Mivtzoyim. Okay, so that that if a person is sitting and learning Gemara first thing in the morning before davening, instead of learning Chassidus, it's wrong. But he's learning. It's not the right thing to do. Okay, that's what the Rebbe wanted to say, because everything, now, because Chassidus at that point is more important. You wait an hour and a half till after davening. Okay, or now you have davening. So now comes the time to davening where you shouldn't be learning Nigla or Chassidus. You should be davening. And then comes the time when you'll have to learn Nigla. And at that point, learning Nigla, learning Gemara, if you're learning Chassidus, it's not the right thing to do either.
There's a right time.
There's a right time.
All right.
So therefore, we're going to say that... Oh, I'm down here, excuse me. that each thing has its importance. You have to daven, yes. You have to learn, yes. And you have to do mitzvahs, yes. Which one is all important? Yes. But you have to understand that when it's time to daven, now's not the time to go to be sitting and learning. Now's the time to be davening.
During the monastery repetition,
yeah.
We can't learn. Supposed to listen and answer. We're not supposed to
be right. Let's look up. Let's finish. Specifically, what do I want to mention? Not enough just to daven. It says that there are three different people that end davening on 3 o'clock on Shabbos afternoon. You got the guy who woke up at 1 o'clock, so he's going to end at 3. Okay, you have the guy who starts at 10 and says the words very slowly, and he'll be done at 3. And then you have the person who's an Eved, who's not looking at the clock anyway, and each word is a tool for self-improvement. And that person, since it's going to be that every word is going to be a tool for self-improvement, so he has to use every single word to improve himself, so that way he'll be done davening at 3 o'clock. So he says, that's what it says, every single day from the depth of the heart. Obviously during weekdays you can't do it as much as on Shabbos. Every single day you search for Hashem with your whole heart and the soul, and your soul should pour out like water before Hashem, as it says, ad mitzvah ha-nefesh, until you're ready to plotz. How do you know when you said, you know, I did a good job, is right before your neshama flies out of your body.
You get chances to get that.
That's when you know you did a good job. You say, I did such a good job. I'm so enamored and enraptured with Elikus that, goodbye, I'll see you later. And that ends chapter 1, to be continued.